Naomi Osaka's statement and the decision concerning this year's Roland Garros is a tip of an iceberg in terms of the discussion about mental health in sports. There is a lot to be said, and that's why I would like to talk a little bit about the big picture.
Hey everyone, this isn't a situation I ever imagined or intended when I posted a few days ago. I think now the best thing for the tournament, the other players and my well-being is that I withdraw so that everyone can get back to focusing on the tennis going on in Paris. I never wanted to be a distraction, and I accept that my timing was not ideal and my message could have been clearer. More importantly, I would never trivialize mental health or use the term lightly. The truth is that I have suffered long bouts of depression since the US Open in 2018, and I have had a really hard time coping with that. Anyone that knows me knows I'm introverted, and anyone that has seen me at the tournaments will notice that I'm often wearing headphones, as that helps dull my social anxiety. Though the tennis press has always been kind to me, and I want to apologize especially to all the cool journalists who I may have hurt, I am not a natural public speaker and get huge waves of anxiety before I speak to the world's media. I get really nervous and find it stressful to always try to engage and give you the best answers I can. So here in Paris, I was already feeling vulnerable and anxious, so I thought it was best to exercise self-care and skip the press conferences. I announced it preemptively because I do feel like the rules are quite outdated in Paris, and I wanted to highlight that. I wrote privately to the tournament, apologising and saying that I would be more than happy to speak with them after the tournament, as the slams are intense. I'm going to take some time away from the court now, but when the time is right, I really want to work with the tour to discuss ways we can make things better for the players, press and fans. Anyway, hope you're all doing well and staying safe. Love you guys. I'll see you when I see you.
I truly believe that this is the moment in which we could reach the turning point in the discussion about the mental health in sports. And as I mentioned before on many occasions, not only in discussing about mental training and sports psychology, but mental health in sports. And I think that Naomi Osaka's statements and the whole situation and everything that's going on Roland Garros this year, 2021, it is a chance to pursue the discussion. It's a chance to open a new chapter into the discussion. So that's why I'm trying to say this, you know, few words about it and to record this episode of my podcast in English. It's actually a first episode in English. I don't know if it's going to be the last one or no, but I just want to shed a little bit light on what's actually a key message that comes into the place in terms of, as I mentioned, Naomi Osaka's statements, Grand Slam's reaction, and all the feedback that came into the place on media and social media regarding this matter. So let's just start from the beginning and from the first, I think, layer of the discussion, which actually concerns press and media as kind of the source of external pressure that concerns athletes. And obviously, let's just clarify, we will be talking about tennis players. So as far as you probably remember, after Osaka's statement and conclusion that the press is sometimes even hostile for the players and that the press conferences that players need to be doing after the matches, whether it's a win or loss, they are tough. And I actually said on some occasion that probably the last thing that I would like to have as a sports psychologist for my player after the match she's lost is to have to do the media. It's kind of obvious things, let's be honest, because, you know, first things is that while you're performing, your cognitive abilities, emotions, stress and tension levels, they are at their peak. Sometimes even the stress is skyrocketing. And after the match, especially after a loss, there's this moment when everything just goes sometimes blank, or when the turmoil is even you know, it's bigger, and there is a lot of thoughts, there is a lot of emotions. Sometimes, obviously, there is a conclusion, but for the most cases, it's not like it's happening just right out after the match. And the press is sort of a mirror. There are some questions, and sometimes these questions obviously are, well, they might be different, let's be honest. So obviously I will talk about it later, but we all need to be educating ourselves, and for health professionals, mental health professionals, would be great if they could be educating players, teams, coaches, press, organizers, tennis and other sports stakeholders. But for the most of the time, the questions concerning the performance are kind of urging player to confront with all the experiences that she or he had. And it was just like a few minutes ago. Well, to be fair, it's usually like half an hour, 1 hour after the performance when the press is going on. And what's the tough part here, and sometimes it's a burden, is that the player is in this very rough point with no filter, and she or he feels sometimes that is being judged because of the type of the questions that are asked. But for the most of the time, it's just the thing that, and I, as I know, obviously, that was the most common answer after Naomi's statement, is that this nowadays is a part of the job. And it's hard to escape from that, especially nowadays with the top athletes, with high performance sports, and with the global sport, and tennis is one of the most global sports that are out there, is that building a relationship with press, with media, it's the same part of the job as the business side of it is. So building relationships with the partners, sponsors, with tennis stakeholders. And the first conclusion that's coming into place after all of that is that that would be great if we would be focusing more on building healthy careers in terms of building healthy relationships, proper relationship with the press, athlete, coach, team, and the media. There is no obviously golden rule here, and there is no simple solution to say we should be avoiding that or we should be going 100% into talking to media. But nowadays, let's just take a look on social media. That's kind of the great platform for athletes to build their own perspective and to share their own narrative with the public, with fans, to be able to present themselves and create and maintain their personal brand in terms of relationships, as I mentioned, with sponsors and partners. And also, it's a good way to connect with people and a good way to promote the sport. So these goals are very healthy. And these goals are kind of the, yes, part of the job. So what we try to do is to educate. And for example, I had a situation a few days ago, right after, let's just say this in the quote, Naomi's case, when a player was asked a question, and I felt that this question is sort of inappropriate in some ways. That was a question concerning mental health. And I just asked some other people to contact the media, the company, and I tried to find the journalist, and we tried to speak to the journalist very politely in a very assertive way and try to educate and discuss why we think that the question might be a little bit different. Why do we think that it might be inappropriate in terms of some boundaries? And we got the feedback from the media that this is one of the very proper ways to build and maintain this healthy relationship between player, team, and the media and the press. And if someone is asking me, okay, so how can we educate nowadays in terms of dealing with sort of external pressure that is coming from doing press or media, I would say, let's talk and let's provide ourselves feedback and let's discuss some ways of asking questions. Obviously, one of the crucial things here would be being open for the discussion and not feeling offended when, for example, player or team would kind of point out that the question might be a little bit inappropriate. So in terms of education, in terms of raising an awareness on how could we change a little bit this narrative, this relationship between players and media, we obviously need all of people involved on board. And I mean here, and I repeat that, players, teams, coaches, management teams, sponsors, sometimes partners, obviously tennis stakeholders as well. And obviously it transfers to a different sports as well. So I think in terms of this particular Naomi Osaka's case, again, quote, this is one of the crucial conclusions. But this whole situation and this whole experience, as I started this podcast, this episode, brings a lot of more discussion about the mental health in sports. And for me, this discussion starts with talking about the COVID effect. So this 1 year or 1 year and a half after tennis came back and other sports came back after lockdowns in this new COVID reality. And this, for me, is the big picture here.
It's been going on so long now, and it's just frustrating, he said. You can't get away from the tennis because you play your match, go back to the hotel, and sit there and stare at the walls, and think about the match because there's nothing else to do. You can't go for dinner with your friends. You can't fly home normally because it's just difficult to fly. It's not been that much fun recently, but it's obviously harder if you lose and you're not winning, which I haven't been doing. I think a lot of players are probably ready for a change of scenery. He is not alone among tennis players in believing the Olympics is more trouble than it is worth.
So let's just start with talking a little bit about the COVID reality in tennis. What you should know is that tennis players and teams and all organizers and all people involved in making tennis possible is that they, or we, because I'm on tour as well, we have to live and we had to live in quarantines and we had to live in this tennis bubbles for now over the year. And it actually means like over 100 tests because we kind of have to be tested every 4 days. For the people that are vaccinated, for now is that if you're like 14 days after the second dose of the vaccine, you're kind of testing free. But you know, it's the social responsibility to be obviously very cautious and being aware that the social responsibility is still the key here. But for now, it was, yes, it was like over 100 tests. And that means, of course, quarantines. That means living with the restrictions, with all the measures, healthy measures that needs to be happening if we want to do sports, if we want to be in a sport in which the international competition is the key. Because it would be much, much easier to be in one place, to be kind of based in one place and compete over there. But tennis needs travel and tennis needs to be in many parts of the world. And sometimes these parts are this kind of fragile parts in terms of COVID. And the tennis bubbles and all the restrictions that were and are still happening, they kind of take their toll on players and all other people involved mental health. For example, and I recorded this episode of the podcast in Polish recently, I've never seen this much withdrawals. I've never seen this much retirements from the tournaments. I've never seen this much injuries, even conflicts or tension in the teams. And that's all because of the COVID. That's all because the teams are all the time together. The travel is so tough. The reality of practicing recovery, it's really tough right now. And it has been for over a year right now. And the thing about it is that we, with the striving perfection or in a more healthy way, in pursuit of excellence, we kind of forget about the simple things that needs to be done to, and this is another key conclusion here in this episode, to have this healthy balance and healthy career. COVID took the toll on all of us, absolutely. And I've heard this opinion. It was, I think it was like around Australian Open, so January this year, that athletes hear all the time that their profession and what they are doing, it's not the key thing. It's not so important as, for example, others' jobs, like obviously doctors, nurses, frontline workers, a lot of people. And all of, you know, athletes, they understand that. But if someone hears all the time that what he's doing is irrelevant and it doesn't have this meaning, it might be a burden. And I think the very important point here would be defining this balance again between finding what's the role, sports role nowadays, as for example, bringing other people joy, but also for athletes, what they are doing for them, it's the most important thing in the world because this is their lives. And living in the bubbles and living in all these restrictions and living with all the stress that's happening, feeling the social responsibility, and again, striving to this perfection, it brings a lot of emotional burden and it really is tough in terms of emotional well-being. So as Jamie Murray said, this living in the bubble life and living in all these restrictions, it's just, you cannot go for dinner with friends. You can't like fly home between the tournaments because you have to be quarantined. And, you know, it's just sort of a shadow that, you know, just covers all other areas of life, not just professional side of this life. So what we are kind of advising all sports people is that, as I mentioned before, creating and maintaining the balance between work life and a personal life, between work and recovery. And first of all, it means to create and maintain this healthy and close social support network. Tennis is a solitary sport. You know, it's tough because at the end of the tournament, there's just one person that doesn't lose. Everyone else at some stage of the tournament, they're losing. And this feeling, which is actually often combined with the feeling of loneliness and this burden with this whole pursuit of excellence or striving to perfection, it is tough. And this social security network, so it practically means keep your close ones very close to you. It's sort of pillar and sort of solid ground in terms of creating the healthy career, especially nowadays with all the factors that are very strongly related to external and internal pressure. So support, first of all, then we kind of forget about enjoying simple things. And to be honest, every single time that I mention this, I feel right now that, okay, maybe I'm repeating this all the time and maybe people will think that this is too simple to be true, that this is kind of, what advice is that? But trust me, really trust me, in area of my experience and from what I see every single day working with high performance sports, business, education, enjoying the simple things, putting more attention to these very, very simple and fundamental things in all areas of our lives, it's a crucial thing. What I mean, for example, is sometimes enjoying a sunset. In tennis, you know, we're able to finally to go out for 1 hour every day out of the hotel, out of the bubble, and having this walk and being able to see, even right now in Paris, an Eiffel Tower, even every day, or just, you know, go and enjoy the more spacious areas. This is sometimes everything. So if you have chance to enjoy a good coffee or enjoy a very good food, and you can actually eat this meal with a real silverware, not the plastic ones, it's really important thing to have this. And balance means support, balance means simple things, balance means understanding that we're unable to live normally in these unusual times. It's understanding and accepting, which is kind of the keyword here, that it's okay that we feel more stressed, that we feel sometimes more anxious in some ways. And this acceptance makes us kind of being closer to the solutions. So, as I said, talking about press and media being a source of external pressure and being this hard stuff in terms of living in these careers right now for high performance athletes, this is sort of the tip of an iceberg. And this is this turning point that I, you know, mentioned at the beginning of this episode, that we could see the big picture.
I should have asked to go to my grandparents' funeral. I should have made those inquiries and seen if I could get out of the bubble and go home. I didn't. It's something that I'll probably regret for the rest of my life, because I prioritized my tennis over things that were happening in my life. The only thing I can do now is move on and move forward. There's nothing wrong with having a therapist or two and a grief counselor and all of these things. I have to do what's best for me and work on myself. I think there definitely needs to be more open dialogue on what not only her, but everyone on tour goes through. I think we don't talk about it enough. I support her and I appreciate her speaking out because maybe that will help other players and other people speak out on how they're feeling. Feelings are real and we're all human, so I hope she takes the time she needs.
The other things I repeat since the Naomi statement came out into the place is that whenever we feel that we want to form an opinion about someone's decision, someone's choice, or even a behavior, it's extremely important that we don't form an opinion and we don't comment on one's mental health, because we do not have all the information, we do not have the data, we do not know the context of the situation. And I do think that it should be loud and clear that we just respect the decision, for example, Naomi's decision to share her experience. And personally and professionally, I really appreciate and respect the decision. But it's extremely relevant at the same time that we understand that there is a difference between discussing the whole context of what's happening nowadays with high-performance sports or business or education in terms of all the factors that, you know, are important in terms of external pressure or internal. And we do not discuss that someone, for example, is privileged or is using mental health issues as sort of an explanation of their impromptu decision avoiding press. And to be honest, I've seen those tweets and comments, and that's why the last but not least, I would like to talk a little about these opinions that athletes are kind of privileged in terms of experiencing stuff, in terms of seeking treatments, or in terms of, well, living or not living with depression or anxiety or other mental health struggles. Because I, you know, I even have these tweets on my profile that, for example, I tweeted the interview, Sloane Stephens interview for New York Times, and I got this tweet back that, well, so doing tennis nowadays, it's sort of what I extremely traumatic experience. Well, in every single job, there is a chance to get sick or something. And it's not just tennis, and it's, and why she needed to stay in quarantine and couldn't she really go back home? Well, the thing is that for athletes living this life since they were kids, since they were very little ones, and creating this environment where pursuing excellence and competing is sometimes everything, which is, by the way, unhealthy in terms of creating a healthy career, but this is sort of the idea for another episode, is that the choices that we all have to make, they're really tough, especially again right now with the COVID reality. And keeping in mind what I said at the beginning of this part of the episode is that if we do not want to speak, if we want do not to comment on someone's mental health, that we shouldn't be commenting that someone's privileged or not, because we don't know that. And to be honest, it's really not like that. For mental health, it's kind of the same way as physical health, as dealing with injuries or diseases, is that there is no choice here. Everyone, every single one of us could be suffering from depression, could be suffering from anxiety, eating disorder, sometimes addiction, or schizophrenia. It's just sort of how do we approach this thing. How do we approach an injury? How do we approach physical disease? Or how do we approach a mental health issue? And I understand that some people would comment that athletes are privileged because they do have resources to seek treatment more effectively than other people. And like at the some point, that's true, because obviously they could approach a little bit differently, seeking the treatment, seeking help of healthcare professionals. But on the other hand, this is very same with experiencing all the symptoms, the very same way with dealing with sort of feeling of blame, of being weak. And for athletes, actually, with all the stereotypes concerning that they are kind of gladiators, that they are kind of the hero that is just, you know, fighting all the demons and fighting all the weaknesses on these arenas, it's sometimes even harder to seek for help. And this would be the last conclusion that I want to share with you, that athletes, high performance athletes, and especially top athletes, being often a public figures, they are kind of seen as these strong, independent, powerful figures. And with all this stereotype, whenever something's going on, which is not a physical injury, and especially if this is something that concerns mental health, they kind of sometimes feel that they have to deal with this through the more practice, more work, physical work, like training, putting into dealing with this as they see this problem. And with mental health, it sort of works that way, that if we put more pressure, more work, especially physical work in terms of dealing with the mental health issue, is that it's often getting worse. So these paths of looking for a support or treatment or solution for the problem, they are not proper ones. And as for reality, as for now, especially with all the discussion that is brought into the place after Naomi Osaka's statement, the other side of this big picture, other than COVID reality and that all the pressure that's coming along with that in terms of high performance sports, is that we really should be talking more about the social image of athletes, that they are kind of seen as these gladiators and not as a human being. Because first of all, an athlete always is and will be a human. And from that standpoint, everything might happen. And that's why an athlete, a high performance or top coach, a businessman, a founder of a startup, influencer, celebrity, is a human. And as for that, we all have equal right to seek for a treatment, to struggle sometimes, to deal with challenges, because for us, it's all the same.